Father, we are grateful today for the Lord Jesus Christ, the privilege of being able to pray together another day, the opportunity of looking into the Word once again. We ask that Thou would open this portion of the Word of God to us today, helping us to lay hold of the truth, and we'll give Thee all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, that portion of the Word of God we are studying together, noticing with us today the fifth chapter of the book of the Revelation, which we have been reading, and in which is described the scenes in the throne room of heaven, which we have been discussing for the last day or two. Will you follow in your Bibles as we read today? Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, "And I, John, saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book, written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." And then, as we pointed out to you the last time we were together, all heaven broke loose, so to speak. And we read in verse 8, "When he had taken the book, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the four living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing, and honor, and glory, and power, be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down, and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever." Last time we were together, we began the discussion of this noisy scene in heaven, when all of the folk were uttering their praises to God for his faithfulness in keeping his word. We were examining the fact that the creatures in heaven had bowls or bottles or vials full of the prayers of the saints of God. And we were talking about the reason for that, the reason that these prayers of the saints of God had such an important place in this scene, which represents God's fulfillment of his promise to redeem the earth from the bondage of corruption. We suggested to you that the reason that the prayers were in the bottles was to remind us that prayers are exceedingly important to God. But why were they particularly related to the event before our eyes? I believe the reason is that the prayers in those bottles were those prayers which we have prayed sincerely in the words, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth, even as it is in heaven. Now, when we have prayed prayers such as that, God has said I'll put that prayer in a bottle, and I will keep it until the time described here in the book of the Revelation. You might be thinking today, well, that prayer has been prayed by a great many of the saints of God for a long time. My will be done, my kingdom come, is the desire of God. And we have prayed in that fashion, but we have prayed a long, long time. A lot of folk are discouraged because the kingdom does not come. But we would remind you, the time for it to come is described here in Revelation chapter 5. So these individuals take the bottles that have the prayers of the saints of God related to this subject, and they pour them out, figuratively speaking, indicating, God, it is time to answer the prayers of your saints. We look again at the picture and we notice that these individuals have not only bottles containing the prayers of the saints of God, they have harps as well. What are these harps for? Sometime when you have time, study in the Old Testament. We could give you one passage of Scripture now with which you might begin. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 5. You can start there and go either way with a chain reference Bible. Study what prophets carried these harps. Usually, no, you think about prophets being dressed in sackcloth, but if you follow through as I have suggested to you, you'll discover that every prophet had a harp. Every one of them was a sign of his office. Now, why did these folk have harps? I believe they had them to indicate that God's kingdom was coming, not only in response to the prayers of God's people, but in fulfillment of God's prophetic word. Oh, the prophecies that are in the word of God concerning the coming kingdom. Many of them. People pass over them, spiritualize them, shove them out of the way and say, oh, I don't know what it means, but it couldn't happen anyway. Well, beloved, those prophecies related to the coming kingdom are going to come to pass, just as is described here in Revelation 5. Look with me now at verse 9. I want you to notice the pronouns very carefully. They sang a new song. Who sang this song? If you read hurriedly, you will think that the 24 elders sang it. You might even think the four living creatures sang it. But if you examine the construction in the original text, you will find that the word they refers to the saints of God. We see the answer to our prayer. Doesn't it bless your heart today when you see the answer to some of your prayers? Don't you feel like singing? Of course you do. So the saints of God are going to sing a new song. What is it they're going to sing? They're going to sing, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, O Christ. When thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation, thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now I don't know what melody those words are going to be set to. I don't know enough about music to know what it's going to be, but I do know this. It's going to be one of the sweetest songs that was ever sung. Though I cannot sing down here on this earth without offending everybody that's very close to me, this will be one time when I'm going to be able to sing right out of my heart, because I have been redeemed. I know that Jesus Christ shed his blood for me. I know that he made me a priest of his. I know that one day I'm going to reign with all of the other saints of God on the earth. And I want to sing about it when all of them sing about it. Did you notice the theme of the song? Well, notice it. It's an important theme, the blood of Christ. You know, there are some people in this day and time who do not like to talk about the blood. When we make any reference to the blood, they say we're talking about a slaughterhouse religion, a gory thing. They'll even say, don't talk to children about Jesus shedding his blood. It will upset them. Well, I want to tell you today, if you present the story right, it won't upset them. It's the story that has been declared all down through the ages and is still worth talking about. But alas, in this day in which we live, it's sad. Some of our churches have taken the songs about the blood out of their hymn books because they just can't talk about the blood. It's barbaric. Belongs to the Old Testament. It belongs to religion before it got purified. Well, let me tell you something. If you have forgotten to sing about the blood, you're going to be out of date when you get to heaven, because that's all they're going to sing about there. If you expect to go to heaven and enjoy it, you'd better relearn some of those songs. You'd better get used to singing them, because they're going to be singing about the blood in heaven. I want you to pause just long enough with me now in our discussion to think about something. Let's make it very personal today. Are you acquainted with the blood of Christ? Let me be very specific. Are you under the blood? Now, what do I mean by that? Well, you remember the story in the Old Testament when the death angel was going to pass over the land of Egypt and the firstborn son of every family was going to die, without exception. They began to wonder what could be done. God gave them the answer. He said, "Let every family take a lamb, slay the lamb. Let the head of the family go outside the house and put the blood on the doorpost, and then everybody stay in the house. When the death angel comes and passes over the house, if there's blood on the doorpost, he will pass over, because death can't strike through the blood of the lamb. When I say to you, are you under the blood? I mean, have you come to the place in your experience where you know you are a sinner and you cannot save yourself? You've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to apply his blood to your heart. If you've done this, then when the sentence of death is passed upon men because of sin, it will not affect you because you're under the blood. And so I ask you, are you under the blood? Well, I repeat, that's what they're going to sing about in heaven. And you know, singing begets singing, and you won't be able to keep quiet there. Because you will know then, 'tis the blood that has made the difference.